When the Pharisees, with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For all the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites? As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition." He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord.
It may be difficult for us to recognize it from our distance from it and perspective in history, but the controversy that is being addressed in our gospel reading today is really kind of the fundamental controversy of Jesus' life and the early church. The Pharisees aren't really hostile to Jesus. They see Jesus' disciples behaving in a way not following the traditions of the Jewish people in ritual washing and in food, and they question Jesus. They don't understand. Why is it that your disciples don't follow the tradition of the elders? They are confused about that. Our gospel, the verses that we don't hear in our gospel, it is the disciples themselves are confused about it in terms of Jesus' teaching. They don't understand Jesus' teaching about defilement from within rather than from without. This is the fundamental question of the early church. St. Paul's letters are all wrestling with questions and opponents with regards to whether one really has to be an observant Jew, whether one has to be circumcised, whether one has to follow the dietary restrictions, whether one has to follow the purification rituals of the Jewish people in order to be a good Christian. And that's kind of the question of the day. The very first council of the church, the Council of Jerusalem, takes up this question. And with the apostles coming together, it is the controversy that even brings St. Paul to denounce Peter as he wrestles with eating with the Gentile family as members of the Jewish community come in, and he jumps out the window in order not to be seen. And he's called out by Paul publicly over these very questions of what makes you ritually unclean, as to where that comes from. And it, frankly, it's even in our church today. There are Christian communities today that believe that one has to adhere to the dietary and the purification rituals of the Jewish community in order to be Christian and to do that faithfully. It's still an argument that exists in our church. And yet what Jesus is doing in stepping into the argument isn't so much about cleanliness or hygiene. It isn't really so much about addressing that particular issue as taking up the question of where does holiness really come from? Is it something that comes from without, or is it something that comes from within? And in doing that, I think he addresses an issue that is still something that, whether we recognize it or not, are in our hearts today. He's jumping into an experience and a situation where he's saying that the things that you bring into your life are not what makes you unclean. It's the state of your heart. And in doing that, he's calling the people to understand that our thoughts and what goes on interiorly within us are important. They matter. It's not just the things that are outside of us that matter, but that what goes in our interior lives really make a difference in how it is that we approach and relate to our God. The question ultimately, like I said, is one of holiness. And in doing that, Jesus uses the word unclean. And unclean in this really is translated not as something that has to do with hygiene or being dirty. It has to do with whether it's common or whether it belongs to the element of the secular. And it's what he's describing is the dividing line between the sacred and those things that are set aside for religion and those things that are profane or secular or rooted in the experience of the common. And dividing those two things. And he's saying to the people that are listening to, hear me. It's not that experience of the division of the profane and the secular from that of the religious that makes a person unclean. It's what comes from his heart. And it's from his heart comes all those experiences of evil that defile us and pull us away from God. What he's saying, ultimately, is that the experience of uncleanliness and the experience of holiness isn't rooted fundamentally in all the things out there that we might participate in. It's rooted in the heart. It's a moral question. And in doing that, I think he speaks to something very important to us. There's a temptation, my brothers and sisters, to see our religious observance as something that's mechanical. We are surrounded by acts of piety. Most all of us walked in this church today and dipped our hand into holy water. We signed ourselves with the sign of the cross as a sign of our baptism of the Trinity. We genuflected before the Blessed Sacrament before we took our places in the pew. We stood up out of respect, out of the reading of the gospel, and we will kneel before the presence of Christ in the Eucharist on this altar. Our whole lives are surrounded by those actions of piety. And Jesus is not criticizing those. His whole life was filled with those things as well. But what Jesus is saying is that those acts of piety must reflect an interior disposition of conversion and relationship with Jesus Christ. And there is a strong temptation in our lives that if we just do the things that we need to do rightly, if we go about doing the things of prayer or the external observances that we do, if we follow all of those precepts, that somehow we'll find our way to God, as if it's just some sort of mechanical thing that we do. And the temptation there is that in some ways it's easy. The questions are very simple. I either do this or I don't. And it doesn't necessarily require a risk in the commitment of a relationship with a person. But what Jesus says to us is that is not good enough. Our exterior experiences of piety and worship must reflect an interior disposition of striving to grow in our relationship with God. We are called, my brothers and sisters, as a people to really look at and sit with the tension between where it is that I know that I am in my relationship with God and where it is that I profess that I am called to be. We must sit in that experience of tension. We must, as a people, recognize the areas in which we have failed and to say that we're sorry, to seek out God's mercy and grace in the sacrament of reconciliation, but also to commit ourselves to a greater striving after holiness. What is it in our lives that we really need to work on morally in our relationship with God and not just dismiss them as is, that's just the way it is? Do I need to work on the experience of chastity in my relationships? Do I need to work on my patience with the people and the family members that surround me? Do I really need to work on experience of compassion and charity in the people that surround me? What are the things in my life that I need to really spend time with, recognizing that it is those things that are inconsistent with what it is that God calls me to in the everyday? Christ's message to us is a message in which all of our lives are rooted in the experience of relationship with Jesus. And my brothers and sisters, if our lives are rooted in that experience, in prayer and in striving to grow in relationship with Him, then the boundary between the sacred and the secular begins to dissolve. If I'm rooted in Christ in all things, then in everything that I do, there's an act of worship and fidelity to God. It's like the great Benedictine ideal that sees work as a way of growing in relationship with God because it is rooted in the experience of prayer and in the experience of devotion, in growing, and in friendship. We cannot live in two different spaces. We are called to live as one person, all of us, everything, our outward devotion as well as our interior disposition, striving after what it is that God calls us to. If we strive after that interiorly, then all that we do, even our work, even the most secular thing that we do, becomes an act of worship and praise to our God. My brothers and sisters, every week we come here to receive the Eucharist and to be made holy, to be set aside for things that are holy, so that we go forth from this place to make the common, the profane, the secular, holy as an offering to our God. Amen.